for what the Lord's laid on her heart for this morning.
Well, I'm excited to be here with you guys this morning. God is good. I am undone. I'm just going to say this off the hop. Is this how you guys always are? Oh, can you come to Medicine Hat, please? Please, can you join us here? I would love that. Give me one sec. Open up my MacBook. I was in worship this morning. Okay, I'm going to follow you up, okay, just before we get into my introductions and whatnot. But last night, we're like, God, what do you want for this morning? And we asked our team, pray into it. And this theme kind of came up, started with Jessica. She's like, I'm feeling thankfulness, but not just thankfulness, like a broad scale, like kingdom of heaven. Wow, God, thank you for everywhere you've brought us from, everything you've taken us out of. The kingdom of heaven is coming in power and healings and signs and wonders and prophecy and the gifts and in his love and the fruit of the Spirit. That's what I gathered. We gathered last night, and then we come in this morning, and we're like, I'm just like, God, I know I said I was going to talk with, you know, on, you know, the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and discerning of spirits, that part, the revelatory part of the gifts of the Spirit out of the three categories and the nine gifts. But wow, my heart is undone with thankfulness. And I'm not kidding you. I'm sitting there. I got my message prepared, but the Lord's like, go to the book of Luke. I'm like, why? I already got a message. Nope, Sarah, go to the book of Luke. I've got a message for you. You prepared a message, but I prepared a message. And the Lord, and I just started, I'm not going to tell you what it is. We're on a cliffhanger right now. But I just want to say, God is so welcome here in this place. The honor and the humility that you carry in here, God does not take lightly. He does not take it lightly. And he wants you to know this morning, and I'm mostly a hearer. There's four different ways you can translate God generally: through hearing a still small voice, through seeing mental pictures. Sometimes you'll see words. Sometimes you'll feel an emotion from the heart of the Lord. And sometimes you're just a knower. And you just know. You don't have the words to explain it, but you just come into a place or you meet a person and you know what the Lord has for them. And I am so burdened. Before I get into what the Lord showed me while I was sitting over there, I want to introduce myself in the sense, I mean, I'm a mom. I got three beautiful kids. If that picture's there, Jaron, you can throw it up. If not, because we got a lot of new people sitting in the crowd. But I'm a mom of three kids. My oldest is 10. My second is 7. My youngest is just about 5. My husband, and we literally, one baby into the game, we're like working jobs, living on unemployment because we kept getting laid off, going, God, what is your plan for our lives? And God's just like, go. Go. Be the kingdom of heaven. Find a bunch of people that are wildly crazy about me, that will give up it all, lay down their lives, and go. And God took us 4,200 kilometers from our homeland, Kingston, Ontario, across the nation, to this little town called Medicine Hat. That, who goes to Medicine Hat? I mean, we're used to trees, and the minute we drove, and we're like, where's the trees? What did we sign up for? Is this a desert? Are we living in the wilderness, God, for the rest of our lives in the desert? And we arrive to a group of people, a kindred spirit, a unique anointing, an unusual movement that God is arising from the western side of Canada. It's a pocket of fire, let me say that, and they're springing up all across this nation because the revival that's about to come is one that Canada will be the healing for many other nations. And so God is raising up an awakening inside of Medicine Hat, inside of Red Deer, Alberta, inside of all of this parts of this region. And my heart And my passion, I'm telling you, I came here just to be a mom, not just a mom, the highest calling of motherhood. But I was excited about being a mom, and God said, Sarah, will you go for me? And I had no idea that I would find myself wanting to lay down everything to equip a generation and teach a generation for the coming revival. Acts chapter 2, Peter prophesied from the upper room, and when the Spirit was poured out, he preached a message, and he said, guess what I see coming? I don't just see the prophets of God anymore. I don't just see one man leading a nation anymore. I don't just see the religious, staunchy, upright people who know the rules of God. He says, I see a generation of millions of broken vessels carrying my presence, because I am here to say the kingdom of heaven is about people. And I made this plan, this grand story about people. I created them for relationship, to love and be loved. And the greatest story I could ever tell, I'm playing out the last day chapters right here in Canada. And so my heart, when he called me, I told my story, I'll reiterate it briefly, but I walked away from God. I grew up in the church, I walked away from God. I drank, I partied, I did the relationship outside of marriage thing. I did it all. I was broken. I needed acceptance. I had fear of rejection driving my life. God snatched me up out of it. And when I finally returned like a prodigal son from my pig pen mess of totally wasting my inheritance that I get here in this life, I returned to my father and he said, Sarah, I want to give my people power. I want to give my people relationship. I want to give my people a taste and see experience that I am here, and what I said I made you for, I am accomplishing that redemptive story all throughout history, and it is coming to its culmination. At the end of the age in Revelation, Jesus declared that the Spirit and the bride will rise up together, equal, in partnership, and they will say, the Spirit and the bride will cry out, we are ready, God. Come, Lord Jesus, we're ready. Come, Lord Jesus, we're ready. And Peter prophesied, in the last days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on my sons and my daughters, and all who love me will prophesy, and all who love me will work wonders. They will have dreams, as the old men will dream dreams, and the young men will see visions. And we together will be a bride made ready for the coming of the Lord. And so my heart and my passion is to equip a generation to experience the very thing that when I returned to the Lord, I said, God, if it's not real, I don't want it. If it's not fiery in love, in true, authentic relationship, I don't want it. I don't want motions, God. And he said, okay, Sarah, let's walk this out. And so I'm here this weekend. I don't get to travel much. I don't get to go and do these mobile teams. So it's a real privilege for me to be with you guys this weekend. And I don't take it for granted. But when I look across this room and I see how many people are here, you know what I see? I see an army. And I see generals in here. And I see frontline warriors in here. Because the generations that's coming is no longer a one-man show. It's going to be all of us moving in the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And God is specifically saying, I need those things to operate in you today. And here's the best part. You don't need seminary. You don't need $10,000 to go to school and be an accredited pastor, because I guarantee you there's pastors in here today. You don't know you're a pastor, but that gift is underneath the surface, and God's calling you to rise up in the gifts. God's calling you to submit to what's going on here in Red Deer at Potter's Hand Church, to be trained and to be equipped and to carry on the work of the Lord. And guess what? God ordains you. God ordains you. So I feel like today I'm going to talk a little bit about the gifts. We're going to continue on the first Saturday morning. Our session was the gifts and the fruit, the balanced lifestyle. The Bible says the sons of God, those are the ones that are led by His Spirit. And we demystified that on Saturday morning, what it looks like to live in the gifts and in the fruits of God. And then on Saturday evening, last night we talked about healing. Who was here? A bunch of us were. And we talked about the reality of a healing God. And we were equipped by the Lord to walk out healing. And this morning, I believe on God's heart is one of the most important things that we need to rise up in faith and begin to walk in, which is the spirit of testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation 19:10, an angel caught a glimpse of something that Jesus was. An angel was being worshipped, and he said, "Don't worship me." Guess what? The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus. And what is prophecy? It's simply foretelling the future, or forthtelling the nature of these three things: what Jesus thinks, feels, and acts towards you or towards a generation of people. That's it. And he said, "Worship the Lord. Don't worship the gift. I'm just the messenger. I'm just the burning minister. And I know I look cool with my wings and my sword. And I know I look cool because I'm glowing and stuff." You know, I always say, make a joke, I love my body, okay. But most people have a forehead, but I have a five head because it fits five fingers. But the beauty of that, my husband and I share an internal joke, is that it carries more glory. It shines a lot more. And so just so you know, like Moses, you know, yeah, amen. If you see the shine on here, it's the glory. It just happens to be the way I'm endowed. Little extra glory up at the top. But man, the angel said, don't focus on the glory. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Your pastors are going to take you into further equipping. They've already been equipping you in the gifts of the Spirit. What it means to go into signs and wonders, into healings and miracles of healings. What it's like to operate in the gift that the Bible, 1 Corinthians 12, calls a spirit of faith, supernatural faith. They've already been teaching you what it's like to prophesy, to speak in tongues and to interpret tongues. And today we're going to touch on a little bit about words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. But when all is said and done at the end of the day, there's an angel of the Lord standing beside you and going, don't glorify the gift. Don't glorify the person. Rejoice in Jesus. Rejoice in the testimony of Jesus, which is the spirit underneath everything that is operating. And we are the vessel and we contain the glory. Don't begin to convince yourself that you are the glory. We can't keep the glory. There's a reason why the earthen vessels are cracked. There's a reason why the earthen vessels are cracked. You and I are broken and weak, and we all have our Achilles heels that we deal with in our life for a very specific reason. If we were to contain the glory, we would explode. Even Moses, who asked, God, please let me see your glory, it was his mercy to turn his back to him and say, I'll let my back pass before you, because if I was to do the ha-ha moment, you would literally be obliterated. You would, the Shekinah glory, the fullness of God's glory cannot be contained by a human being. And so thank God that you need to depend on your pastors and your brothers and sisters, and we need to, and that we get to walk in humility and meekness and loneliness. And thank God, even when you're struggling, because you say, yeah, that you, yes, God, even in the midst of a struggle, there's a gift in it. I get to depend on you. The greatest glory of our lives is that we get to depend on him. The greatest glory of his life is that he gets to pluck us out and translate us back into his family, because he is God and he deserves the glory. And if you keep this principle with you for the rest of your life, this one thing, I'm an earthen vessel and I get to be a vessel of his constant flowing glory, you will always be okay. You will always be okay. You'll appreciate your weaknesses a lot more. Your unity will grow in your church. It won't be hard to submit. You won't compete for a platform. You'll understand that what God has put inside of you, your special gifting, your special talents, the operation of the gifts is going to, I declare this, the operation of the gifts is going to increase amidst this very church. There is going to be revival springing forth from Potter's Hand Church. There is, amen. And when it comes, remember your humility is the earthen vessel. Your, what you did this morning, if this is what you do all the time, keep that, because you, amen, you will be able to contain the glory. The gifts don't contain the glory. The character contains the glory. That is the new wineskin that carries the coming revival of the new wine. Amen. I don't even know what to do. I'm not going to use my notes. Forget it. Why don't you turn with me to Mark, the last chapter of Mark. Mark chapter 16. Verse 15. The Great Commission. And he said to them, as verses 15 through 17 and 18. He said to them, he appeared to the 11, they're sitting at a table. He rebuked their unbelief, first of all, and their hardness of heart, because they didn't believe that those who had seen him after it had risen, that it was real. But later he appeared to the 11 apostles, and he sat at the table with them, and he said to them because of this, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And verse 17, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Guys, our commission is to go. What I love about the kingdom of heaven is that God doesn't give it to those with wise and persuasive words. He doesn't give it to the elite. He gives it to those who have a childlike heart. The kingdom of heaven belongs to the children of God. And I think this is why I'm feeling to present to you what I'm about to present to you this way, is because we give a lot of lists of how-tos. We give a lot of teaching on how, and this method, and if you want to walk in prophecy, you need to do this, and if you want to walk in a word of wisdom, you need to do this. And I'm a teacher at heart, so I'm all for the little details. Get them in the ear, walk in that, get people understanding so that they can make sense of the word of God. But at the end of the day, when it seems like we don't have enough time to teach you everything that the Word of God says, he says, if you come to me like a little child and you hear an instruction and you say, yes, I believe. Remember, Jesus rebuked. He had just risen from the dead. He rebuked their unbelief. Your greatest hindrance to walking as the children of God and bringing the kingdom of heaven in the last days and being ready for Jesus' return is unbelief. Is unbelief. And none of my three children, when I teach them about prophecy and about tongues, sit back and go, well, I don't know if those gifts are for today. Malachi? We weren't taught that theologically like that. And I think that that is potentially unbiblical teaching. And it sounds funny, doesn't it, Caden? And Caden, my son, whose first language was Minions from the Minions movie, because he watched it so much, he was like, Beto. She's like, don't pay attention to him, Malachi. I don't know if my, you know. They didn't do that. They just said, I can prophesy? Well, what is prophecy? It's sharing the thoughts of the Father's heart that outnumber the sands on the seashore for a person to do this, 1 Corinthians 14, to build them up, to edify, and to bring comfort, to prepare the way of the Lord, to prepare the body of Christ, to awaken the gifts that are inside of them, to help them when they can't translate God. God will work through you, Malachi. God will work through you, Nevaeh. God will give you wisdom, Nevaeh, that you don't know. As a 10-year-old girl, God will give you wisdom to give to adults. Did you know that you don't have to be a judge or a professional counselor to give the wisdom of God, Nevaeh? She goes, I don't. I said, no. If you're in a situation and you hear a bunch of old people talking, and they're like, what do we do? I don't know what to do. You just walk away and you go, Holy Spirit, Father, would you give me a word for them, some wisdom? And wait and see if God gives you a picture, a phrase, a scripture verse, a dream, a vision. Guess what happened one night? This season has been the hardest in my life. And I know that we go through valleys. And I know that we go over mountains. But I watched my own sister, who loves the Lord, fall back into drug addiction. And if you've ever had a friend or been through yourself or your loved one, it's painful, isn't it? I saw ministry different after that season in my life. I said, God, what am I here for? Why am I standing on a platform? Why am I going through the motions? I just want people. You want people. I'll give it all up in a second to go and live on the street with my sister-in-law to try and bring her out of the trap from the enemy that she's living in. I'll give it up in a second, God. And he said, good, that's where I want your heart to be. But I said, no, I despise ministry. I actually don't want it anymore. I don't want it. I don't need it. I'm not about building my own name, God. I want people. I want people. Because you want people. And this life is about people. And he said, good, you're in a good spot right now. You're in a childlike place where you can see and use the gifts and the callings and the talents that I've placed in your life to bring people back to my heart and show the world my kingdom of heaven and demonstrate who Jesus really is. And in the middle of the season, and it was difficult, there was all kinds of other ministry things going on, all kinds of other personal struggles in our family. That part is irrelevant. But one night, have you ever been in a place where you're at complete perplexity? I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do, God. I don't know who to ask. I don't know what the answer is. It's so complicated. And I'm up till 1 a.m. My daughter wakes up. She comes out. She goes, Mommy, I got a dream for you. You did? Tell me. She goes, and I was burdened by this. I was actually borderline in depression on this. All the compiling of all these different things going on in my life. And she goes, I saw you, and I'm a runner, by the way, love to run. She goes, I saw you go into an indoor track, and a big door, you opened it, and you came in to go for a run. And she says, the door slammed shut behind you. and you were shaking the door, trying to get out, but you couldn't figure out how to get out because it was locked. So you just stopped, you put your shoes on, and you ran around the track for 3 days. And then she says, on the third day, the door broke open, and you walked out. And I said, thank you, Lord. That was a word of wisdom and knowledge that I could not have achieved that you gave to the babes. You gave it to the babes. And guess what? It was 3 days. I just stopped thinking about it. I stopped trying to figure out my answers. And I waited 3 days in prayer with expectancy. And 3 days later, I was in a deliverance ministry scenario. And God broke off of me while I was ministering to somebody else a spirit of depression, a spirit of hopelessness, a spirit that where perplexity comes. There was a little bit of discouragement weighing in on me and a little bit of oppression, and broke it right off. Broke it right off of me in a moment. And I went through, after I left that, I was like, oh, yeah, God's going to work it out. Okay, see you guys later. We did our debrief and walked away. Didn't even realize what had happened. Went home that night, and the Lord's like, Sarah, it's the third day. I told you I was going to take care of you. What was perplexing you, what was confusing you, was the discouragement and the despair or the depression of the situation or the hurt or the pain. And he says, I just removed it off of you. You're free. You're free. You're free. All we need as children of God, bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth, is to turn our attention towards him in childlike faith. There's your lesson for the day. There's your takeaway. Because with knowledge, there's great gain, but it can become a destroying factor in our life. Because if we think we have to have the smarts, if we think we have to have the knowledge in our own mind, we're fooling ourselves. The supernatural knowledge of God and wisdom of God and discerning of spirits is altogether different than what our natural minds can conceive. It's altogether different. And the beauty of the kingdom of heaven is, he says, we're all on the same level. We're all weak. We're all needy. We're all broken. And it's, you are not qualified by your education. You are not qualified by your physiological or gene, you know, pool smarts. You are not qualified by who you know or where you live or what you wear or what you own. You are qualified by the Spirit of the Lord who lives inside of you. You are qualified because he said you're worth it. A word of wisdom is knowledge beyond what your natural mind can conceive. In a situation where you need an answer and you need to know your direction, but you can't figure it out, you will stand before kings like Song of Solomon to give them wisdom if you hone this gift in your life. A word of knowledge is knowing something that you wouldn't have otherwise known. And we practice this all the time. And this is how you do it. You stop. Do it with me. Stop. Close your eyes. Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What do you want to give them? What do you want them to know? And what do you want them to see about themselves? And you wait. And you get a picture sometimes. How many of you see pictures mostly? Okay. How many of you get a feeling, an emotion from the heart of the Lord for a person? A lot of you. Okay. How many of you, it's often that a scripture verse will just pop into your heart or mind? A number of you. Okay. How many of you just know something? A lot more of you. You walk in a room and you're like, I just know. How did you know that? I don't know, I just know. He will meet you in one of those avenues, laced in love and grace and mercy, as long as it edifies, builds up, and brings comfort to a person. The words of wisdom, the revelatory gifts, are an offshoot of the prophetic heart of God. And everywhere I go and everything that I do in my life, I am constantly asking the Holy Spirit, what are you doing and what are you saying? What do you want to show them and what do they need to do? In deliverance ministries, we do a lot of deliverance ministries in our church where we will literally help somebody to do spiritual house cleaning generationally and then through forgiveness and repentance. And we will help expel demons, according to Mark chapter 16, that are tormenting parts of a person's behaviors or personalities or their thinking. And when I look at a person, I don't gauge based on the expression on their face. I don't even gauge based on their eyes, even though eyes are the windows of the soul, you can see. But I simply turn inward and I say, Holy Spirit, what spirit is operating here? But not just what spirit is operating, because when you look at the spirit of discerning of spirits, that gift in particular, how many of you have come up to somebody and you've said, oh, I feel this on them, or I see that they're depressed, or I see that this is going on around, or I see an angel, or I see a demon? A lot of us can perceive. It's actually just human nature to be able to perceive what's going on in somebody's life. And that's not necessarily the discerning of spirits. Discernment is being able to tap into God's plan for that person's life, or for this room, or for this service, or for this nation. It's tapping into, see, the discerning, you might feel a negative situation going on or a positive situation in somebody's life, but remember this, discernment is the segue to relationship. Discernment is the starting point. If it doesn't lead you to a prophetic word from God's heart about this service or that job or community or that person's life or something futuristic for a church or whatever it is, then you're missing the point. Operating in discernment is for all of us. Operating in the spirit of wisdom is for all of us. And James says, if you need wisdom, you just ask. Lesson number two, childlike faith. You want to walk in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discernment? You ask, God, can I have wisdom? I need supernatural wisdom. And he will give it to you, hopefully through your kids, because that's really fun and humbling. Maybe through a dream. Maybe through another pastor or a friend who gets a word. And maybe just on your own and time in prayer. He will release to you what you need. We are equipped with the gifts for the purpose of ushering in the last day of the Lord and preparing the bride to be ready. That's why we need the gifts, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, at the end of the age, when Jesus returns, we don't need it anymore. When all is said and done and hell is put away and the new heaven and the new earth, we don't need prophecy. We will see and experience Jesus, every single one of us, in the fullness. And right now, in the in-between, we're standing here. And so he says, let me shower down some gifts while I'm up with the Father in heaven. And let me give everybody a piece. And some are going to walk strongly in words of knowledge, like a Sean Bowles. And some are going to walk strongly in ministries or offices of the prophets to direct nations. And some people are going to get revelations from God for the gift of helps and administrations. And some people are going to operate more strongly in healing or signs or wonders. But if you are the only person there in a scenario where there needs to be a healing or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a prophetic word, guess who he's going to give that gift to? He's going to give it to you. The gifts are for all, for the benefit of all. Everything you need of the kingdom of heaven is inside you right now. It's inside of you right now. You don't need anything else. There's more power and more kingdom and more presence and more glory inside of you. If God was to unlock it right now, this roof would blow off. It would blow off. And again, I bring you back to this. Don't focus on the gift. Focus on the King. of the kingdom. A word of knowledge is really easy to practice, but it's very humbling to step out in faith to do it, because you, just like prophecy, just like any of the gifts, they're like muscles. They need to be practiced and they need to be worked in a community where it's safe to fail. The reason we're confident to give prophetic, we're going to do prophetic ministry time here to close out in the next 5 minutes. But the reason why we are confident to release prophetic words and words of knowledge and jump into healing and do and take risks, faith is translated as risk, is because we practice it in an environment where it's safe to fail. And it's safe to grow. A teacher or an apostle or an evangelist, think of the greatest ones you know, they did not arrive just by being instantly endowed with all of the use of their strength and gifts that they had. It took practice. Why would operating in the gifts be any different than that? Why would it be any different than that? And so I want to encourage you, if you're walking in a gift of knowledge, if you want to develop that in your life, it starts with, number one, faith like a child. Yes, God, whatever your word says, I'll try it. Number two, find a group of people you can be humble with and submit to and practice it. And number three, most importantly, realize it's not about the gift, it's about the Lord. And then when you step out in words of knowledge, a word of knowledge, again, is literally just, hi, my name's Sarah, can I pray for you? Yep. I feel like God says you're this kind of person. And by chance, are you this and this and this, more prone to the arts? Well, yes, I am. Okay, that's a word of knowledge. It's very natural. But God will use and wants to use words of knowledge amidst you guys to open the door for the prophetic word. To open the door to direct the person, not to you, the gift bearer, but to him, the king of the kingdom. A lot of people are skeptical. Don't be intimidated by that. Don't be intimidated by that. My daughter is not intimidated to give me a prophetic word. She drew me a picture once of a filing cabinet, a three-drawer filing cabinet, and she couldn't spell at the time very well. But she wrote on the paper, God says you open drawers for people when you speak. If I would have given that word, they would have laughed at me. Not in the good way. And they would have discredited me. Because it didn't sound fancy. It didn't say, the door of the Lord is open, and thus saith the Lord, and this is what it is. If you want to walk in words of knowledge, and the gifts, get ready to be humble. And be natural. Hi, I'm learning how to hear God's voice. Can I try that with you for your life? Sure. And just like on Friday night, I went to a woman and I said, I feel like you're number three of four siblings, and there are three are sisters and one is a son. Is that true? And she goes, no. I said, do you have any sisters? She goes, no. And I'm like, okay, I'm learning to hear God's voice. Let's ask him if there's anything else. But you know what I've found time and time again? Even if I'm doing this on the streets, they appreciate and are impacted by my faith in the king more than they are in whether I got it right or wrong. Because prophecy and words of knowledge and discerning of spirits and the prophetic and words of knowledge is not about right or wrong. It's not Old Testament culture. You're not going to be stoned if you get it wrong. They were people that were being led by God. One man led a whole nation, and they would hear the audible voice of the Lord, the prophets would, and they were required to, like a tape recorder, relay it to the body. And if they didn't, the whole nation would go astray. We don't operate like that in the new dispensation of grace. It's not about right or wrong. It's about immaturity and becoming mature. And as you practice growing in the prophetic, growing in words of knowledge, growing in words of wisdom, God says, you're doing it. You are my ambassador. You are the kingdom of heaven wherever you go. Take a look at this. We're going to invite the worship team up. We're going to close with this. And then what we'll do is we'd like to, after we're done, invite you up to receive. because there's so many of us, it's hard to facilitate practical. But we want to close out the service with thanksgiving and offering just anybody who wants prayer and prophetic ministry. We'll have five of our teammates up here. And we just line up in front of one of us and we'll filter people through. And we're going to pray for you and we're going to ask God for words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discernment for your life and to give you a prophetic word. Because we believe that when you trust like a child, he just shows up because Jesus is more interested in you than anybody else is interested in you. He is after your heart. And can I just close with this? When you, listen to me for a sec. When you begin to get strong in the gifts, because you will, and I know that's where your pastors are taking you guys, and you will become strong in prophetic, strong in healing, strong in words of knowledge, strong in discernment, strong in words of wisdom. You will. Remember, you're going for him. You're ambassadors of the kingdom. The whole reason we're doing this is for eternity. And you win, whether you get it right or you don't get it right. Whether the guy beside you is the one that sees the healing and you don't or not. Jesus commissioned in Luke chapter 10, he sent out the 70. And he made it very clear to them, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest would get more people ready, get them equipped. But as for you, go your way, and behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Scary. You might get a blow. You might get attacked. But what's your focus? Is it eternal or is it earthly? Because if you're only focusing on the gift, if you're only focusing on what can I do in God, if you're only focusing on the here and the now, the persecution will take you out. That wolf that attacks you, that scheme from the enemy, that lie, that person who criticizes you when you step out in the gifts, you will give up eventually. Or that financial burden, or that trial you go through, it'll take a toll on you. Just like I stood here and shared with you that in this last season, it was taking a toll on me. Don't carry money. Don't bring a backpack of belongings of your favorite things and your iPhones. Don't take your favorite Birkenstocks with you. And don't even bother taking time to go to the local restaurant and hang out with people at the social gathering and the baby showers on the way, whatever it is you're doing. He says, but go on a mission. That wherever you go, you're bringing the kingdom of heaven, and every person you cross paths with is like the house of the person that I told you and sent you to go to. God looks at people in terms of families. God is a God of family. When he sees a person, he sees family. He sees generations. And every encounter you have is like that mission of the 70 that went to house to house to house to house to house. And then he says, if peace is there, peace will rest on it. If not, it'll return to you when you leave. Sit in their houses, have relationship with them, talk to them, and whatever city you enter, if they receive you, eat the things that are set before you. So be normal in your gifts. Takeaway number two, be normal. Be human. Don't over-spiritualize. To release a prophetic word, you don't have to shake. That might happen if once in a while on your life. You don't have to say, thus saith the Lord. You can say, hey, I think God might be saying this, or I feel or I sense. Be normal. Be normal. And then he says this, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. You see, we're carriers of the kingdom. Our whole point, did you know that every word of wisdom infused from God, that every word of knowledge given from a childlike heart out of love, whether it's perfect or imperfect, and every bit of discernment that you can offer to a problematic situation or to hear what God is doing, it is all about bringing the kingdom of heaven to earth. It is all about healing a heart and transforming a life. You know, I read heal the sick and I think, oh, heal the body. But no! God is not come to a people that don't need a doctor. He has come to a people who are broken by sin, who are sick under the weight of the burdens of this life. They're sick because they don't know God. And the gifts and the heart behind everything is to bring the kingdom of heaven with every word, every hug, every interaction, every supper you share with somebody, every coffee you share on the street. If you just have a childlike heart and say the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children, God, release something right now, and I'll pay attention to what it is. Even if it's healing, even if it's a sign and a wonder, even if it's a word of knowledge that I've never stepped out and done before, I commit on the front end to go through the doors that you open. Can you commit with that to me today? God is commissioning us to go out like the 70. Guess what? The 70 were pumped. They were scared, but they were pumped. They had a yes on their heart. Will you? And here's the crazy part. Verse 17, the 70 returned after their journey. Who knows how long it was? And they said, they had like a procession. They probably had a dance party on the way back. They were probably waving flags. They were probably high-fiving each other. They were probably like, whoa, David, when you cast out that demon, that word of knowledge blew my mind. They were probably sharing testimonies like we all do. And they came back to Jesus and they said, Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Why the demons? Why didn't they say, oh man, the word of knowledge? Oh man. Because the very thing that opposes the kingdom of heaven that they thought was the most powerful was turned out to be the weakest. So if you understand that a demon is subject to you because Christ lives in you and he's given you all authority in the kingdom of heaven and earth to cast out demons, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, if you can look at a demon and say, go, and it has to leave, then heck yes, you're going to believe you can have a word of knowledge. Heck yes, you're going to believe you can have a word of wisdom. Or you can translate the testimony of Jesus through a word of prophecy. You see, the very thing that they were intimidated by, which was the kingdom of hell, it was proven to them that Jesus really does hold the keys of death and hell in his hands, and resurrection power is real. But then look what he says. He says, it's all good, guys. I'm happy that you realized your authority and the gifts that are inside of you because of my resurrection power. But do not rejoice that the kingdom of heaven, or that the demons are subject to you in my name. And they're like, what? Why not? Like, this is really cool, God. The words of knowledge are really cool. Casting out a demon is really cool. Like, you don't get it, Jesus, because you always get to see in the spiritual realm. Like, we don't. This is cool. Like, let us, like... And he's like, no, I get it. Be happy. I'm cheering you on like my son or daughter, but don't rejoice that they're subject to you. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. If you want to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth, you will live with a heart of a child that says, thank you that you're my dad. Thank you that you're my dad. I've got the best dad in the whole world. And I'm part of the greatest family in history. And I'm part of the kingdom of heaven with a purpose. Would you stand with me? We got 10 minutes. Kids are coming back from kids' church, so if you need to go with your kids, that is fine. But I'm going to ask the ministry team to come back. And we're just going to open this up to a time of prayer and prophetic to encourage your heart. And if you see one of us, come on out of your seats right now. Just begin to line up in front of one of us five. And we're going to release prophetic words over you guys. We're going to pray for you. Stand and you guys, if there's anybody on your ministry team that wants to prophesy, you can come and line up and face the crowds. And if you want to go, you're free to go. Service is dismissed. But we want to do some ministry time if you want that.